I look forward to being able to stand down here and get close to these young people as we focus a little bit upon God's Word, especially looking at it in the viewpoint that we'll try to make it where they have input and can understand it and then also receive the information that we're going to share with everyone tonight. We're glad you're here, especially this group of young people is gathered once again. So good to see you, Jack. How are you doing? Good. Lila's doing well, and look at all these other young people. I can just go through their names. And I think I've almost got them all memorized, if I can get them right. I'm going to save that for later. They say, prove it, prove it, prove it. All right, well, how many of you remember the story of the prodigal son? Just recently talked about it. Yeah, the prodigal son, he was determined that he wanted his inheritance given to him early, so to speak, so he could go off and do his own thing. He wanted to be independent, and he was determined to do so. So his father divided up his living, as we know, among his sons, and the prodigal son, as we call him, went down and wasted his father's gift to him, his substance, in riotous living, the King James says. Or prodigal living, the New King James says. And so there he is, and having wasted all that he had been given to the point that he is now having to go to work. And where do we find him working? Do you remember? On the farm. And what's he taking care of? It's not cows, is it, Jack? It's pigs. Pigs. And have y'all noticed something about pigs? Any pigs that I've been around, they stink. When I was a kid, we had some pigs, and they did not smell very good. My job was to making sure they were fed, and it was a job I extremely dreaded. I was so tickled when we got a calf instead of the old pigs, especially when those pigs became mean. But he finds himself in the pig pen, and then he has to make a decision, and he makes a good one to return to the father. But what I want us to do is tonight to talk about the father's business. How many of you have a father that's in business? Yeah, some of you recall your father is certainly in business. And your father with his business, and his business might be working for somebody else, but when they do, what do fathers do? They provide for who? The family. And so they provide those things necessary for the family. And it's interesting when you think about the father's business, it could be a lot of things. There's a lot of opportunity in America. Now, for this young man that we call the prodigal son, Luke tells us that his choices weren't so great. Because being a Jew, he would not have chosen the pig pen. Not a pleasant place. If I'd been him, I would not have chosen the pig pen. But unfortunately, you got to do sometimes what you got to do. Sometimes even fathers find themselves doing that because they have to provide for the family. Now, how many of you all sitting up here close to the front, and we'll include Jacob and Seth and Wyatt and Dalen, how many of y'all eat? All right. Well, I discovered this last week having my grandson and granddaughter at our house that we couldn't keep enough food in the house because they like to eat. And they don't like just to eat a little bit. I thought I filled my plate, and I was just getting samples compared to my grandson. He filled his plate mile high and then went and got some more. And Anna probably remembers that because she went with us to eat pizza, don't you? And you remember my grandson's plate? How can you take a plate this big around and have it stacked up this high? He was able to do that. But the problem with the prodigal son is when he was in the pig pen, he wasn't eating too well. In fact, he was hungry. His plate wasn't even this tall. His plate wasn't even anything. Nobody would give him anything, and so he had to make a decision to return. But when you think about the father's business, the fathers go to work. They have a business so that they can help feed the family. Now, here's the question I have for y'all. It's going to be kind of a test thing tonight. And we'll give y'all the test too. Would you like to grow up and do your dad's business, or did you? Let's pick on the older folks. How many of you are following in the footsteps of your father? If you are, raise your hand. Got a few. Some do, some don't. There we go. My father, he was a custodian. And he worked really hard, and he painted, during the summer, he would paint buildings under contract. And I decided that I didn't really care too much about the idea of being a custodian or a janitor, but I did like the idea of painting, so I wanted to go to work with him. Boy, was that a mistake. Because I found myself on the side of hot buildings in the sun, painting for hours. Or inside old buildings, painting for hours, where there was no air conditioning, no air, and there were big rats running around like this. So I said, I've got to do something better than this painting thing. But even if I had done that, that would still have been a good business because it provided income. And income is good no matter what. When someone works hard, you can be proud of your fathers, right? I was proud of my father. He worked hard. And had a great appreciation for him, and I'm sure you do too. But let's take this a little bit further. Would you like to grow up and do your dad's business? I'm getting a lot of no's, fathers. So they got other aspirations. Well, how about being a truck driver? We got anybody here who wants to be a truck driver? I pick on our truck drivers, but I think they've all had to leave today to go drive their trucks, unfortunately. Well, what about firemen? These three men in front are all sons. Their fathers are standing behind them, and their fathers were firemen, and they wanted to be firemen. We got anybody here who wants to be a fireman? Zoe, you want to be a fireman, a fire lady? That'd be good. So they followed in their father's footprints. And then I like this family. It's called the Ribeiro family. It's not how they spell it. It's actually, they spell it differently. But they made this sign to go with the dairy, and so everybody can understand it. The Red Arrow Dairy. And it's a multi-generation family that's in that business. And so they followed in the father's business, the footprints of their father, in order so that they can have income. Now, in Luke chapter 15, if you got your Bibles, turn there, adults. Young people as well. In Luke chapter 15, there was a certain man who is a father. He had two sons. And, of course, the younger comes to the father and asks for his inheritance. And so in Luke chapter 15 and verse 12, we read that the father divided to them his livelihood. Now, Wyatt, you're going to like this. He's already grinning. He divided his livelihood. The word that's used there is B-I-O-S. How's that pronounced, Wyatt? BIOS. It's not the basic input-output system of a computer that we call BIOS. It's from where we get our word biology, the study of living things. It refers to a living, that which is necessary to sustain life. And so he divided that which was necessary to sustain life. That's the word. And so that's why we see it translated in the New King James, his livelihood. So he divided his livelihood between his children. Of course, what would a father like this want from his children? He would want them to be able to continue to provide a livelihood, particularly as they grow and have families. But unfortunately, the prodigal son, he wasted his substance in riotous living. Or prodigal or wasted living. Now, here's the next question. What does your dad do to make a living? Takes care of you and Parker. Good, notable thing to do. He works. Now, that's a good idea. They work in order to produce. Easton, how about your dad? He provides for you and sister. I kind of know what he does, too. And Alex, what about you? He works for a security company, doesn't he? He provides a living. And Anna, you know where your dad works? I know you know where he works. Do you know what he does? And Zoe knows. Right? And what does your dad do? The same as your brother's? So you got the same dad and he does the same thing? Yeah, I kind of thought that. She's got that figured out. So they know what their dad does for a living. And what he's doing when he makes that living is he's providing for your livelihood. So if you go up and say, "Dear old dad, would you please give me $5? My kids are going to go down and do this, and I need $5. Well, what's dads do? They come up with $5, don't they? That's the other thing about having my grandkids here. Kathy and I are much poorer today than we were last week. That's the way kids are. But how do dads and moms have money in order for kids to go do things? They make a livelihood. They make a living. Here's an interesting little story I ran across. Joe says, "What does your father do for a living?" Well, John replies. This old John speaking, or we can call him Johnny. Johnny says, "He's a magician. He performs tricks like sawing people in half." Have y'all ever seen this trick performed by a magician, an illusionist? It's an illusion. It's not real, but they try to make it look very, very real. And so Joe says, "Well, do you have any brothers or sisters?" Fair question, right? What do you suppose he said? Well, he says, "Yep, two sisters and a half brother." Y'all got that, didn't you? Now, is that a legitimate living? A father takes and he acts as a magician. He gets paid for that, performing those illusions or tricks, and he is able to provide for his family so he can have a half brother and two sisters. And if you got that many children, you have to work to provide. Well, this father that we have in Luke 15, as we look at this unfold in chapter 15, particularly verse 12, that we read that the younger of them said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." Well, the word goods there is referring to the property or the estate or his wealth. And that he has produced. He has earned, produced this wealth and has possession of it. And so he's able to provide a division of his possessions. So this father is a man who has the wealth. He has the goods. Lots of times when I could go to my parents, when we were younger, being the oldest of six little boys, I could say, "Hey, Dad, I'd sure like $10. And he'd look at me kind of funny and smile and say, "You're kidding." Pull out his billfold. You know what was in it? Not money. So I got the message. Not going to get any money. Because there's times they didn't have it. But here this father has it. He has the goods and the prosperity in order to provide it. Not only that, he's pretty prosperous because he has hired servants. How many of y'all at your house hire servants to come in and help you? Good for you. I don't see a lot of hands going up here tonight. Do you know that? We don't have them either. But this guy, that's the father, he has prospered apparently enough with his business that he is able to even have hired servants. How do we know that? Well, verse 17, remember the prodigal? What's he say? "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger." He remembered when he was down in that pig pen that his father had these people working for him. And of course, if these servants had children, what were these servants doing for their children? They were providing a living for them. So they could go to Dad and say, "Hey, give me $5. Well, it wasn't dollars back then. Coins. Goods. But in other words, they worked in order to provide. Not only that, we learned that the father had cattle. How many of you have fathers who have cattle? Yeah? Randy knows about cattle, doesn't he? And we know they had cattle because when the prodigal son returns, the father is very joyous. He's happy to have his son back, and he says, "Bring that fatted calf." And Randy, what do you do with fatted calves? You butcher them and eat them. because that makes good hamburgers, doesn't it? And so he had cattle. He had the fatted calf, at least Scripture tells us for sure. And he was able to take that fatted calf that he owned as his possession and use that to have a feast. Also, we learn something significant about this father is that he had land. Verse 25 says his older son was in the field. Now, what's significant about this word is that we have the word field used, but biblically, it's one of those words that describes more than we might just suspect on the surface. Because the word is the word from which we today get our word agriculture. And this word, agros, is the word used here, and it referred to, in that day and time, a field that was land capable of producing or bearing fruit or bearing a crop. And so it referenced to lands or properties, but primarily with the emphasis upon the fact that it was lands that were able to produce a crop. And if you have lands that are able to produce a crop, what do you have? The means of income. And so here, the older brother was out in the field. And why would he be out there? Did he take a telescope out there and look up the stars at night? I don't think so. Was he out there just to hunt rabbits? Probably not. Not just to say that. I kind of suspect that he was out there because of the fact that those fields, or that field particularly, could produce a crop. And that was very common in that day. And so you have the ability to produce and be successful because of land that's capable of growing. But something else that's interesting is that he had a house. Verse 25 says, now his older son was in the field and he came and drew near to the house. And if I were probably to go over some of these folks sitting up here tonight's house, knock on the door, would there be a chance I might hear something besides y'all talking? Would I hear maybe some music? No? How about the television? Maybe. If there's music on television. Well, he comes and he hears music. But it's clear that he had a house. So the father's business was successful enough. His livelihood was successful enough that Scripture reveals to us, as Jesus tells this account, that he had a house. One more thing, in talking about the music, we know he had entertainment. Now here's the question. We'll check y'all out here to see how smart we are, okay? I think y'all are pretty intelligent. You've been in Bible classes, you've been in these studies, and let me ask you this. If he heard music, where was it coming from? Was it coming from a stereo? Okay, couldn't be. Was it coming from an iPod? Ah, so it wasn't a cell phone that was playing music on a Bluetooth speaker, no? Wasn't the television, so what was it? Was it live music? Most likely it was live music. So there was probably out of those servants, those are even the family who could provide that music. Or it could have been themselves, because they could have just been singing. But he heard music and dancing. So they're rejoicing with that dancing. They weren't dancing like we read about today. They were dancing in a way that refers to their rejoicing. They were excited and happy. And it's the kind of dancing referred to here as the dancing you see at a ball game. You all ever see people at a ball game? They show them on TV sometimes. They make the field goal. They win the game. And what do people do? They jump up and they holler and they go, yay! They were rejoicing. And so this family was a family that had a business that was able to provide these things like home, land. We read about the clothing. We read about the food, the goods, entertainment, and hired help. So we can say this was probably a pretty successful father, wasn't he? Now, here's the next question. Here's the test. You all ready for the test? Adults, are you ready for a test? It's been a while since they've taken a test, but we're going to give them one. Probably the last test they took was the driver's test. But anyway, here's the test. Who did not appreciate his father's successful business and his own blessings? Was it the prodigal son that took him, made a little trip? Number one, was it the eldest brother that we're reading about who's all upset? In fact, let's take and open chapter 15 so we can get a picture of this real quick. Verse 25, the older son was in the field. He came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said of him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. So this older son was not the one that left. He stayed there and stayed working in the field. So the question is, who did not appreciate his father's successful business and his own blessings? Was it the eldest son, or was it possibly both of them? Remember, the younger son said this, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. I want my inheritance now, essentially is what he's saying. I want what you're going to give me now. And so the father divided his livelihood. Verse 13 says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to the far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. There's something dangerous about the far country, isn't it? Isn't there? He gets there, and there he wastes his goods in prodigal living. So the question is, did this younger son truly appreciate his father's business? No, he didn't. Did he appreciate the goods that he had and the value? You know, sometimes fathers will work all their lives and then they'll give to their children and the children will just waste it. You'll see that repeated throughout history. Why? Because they do not appreciate the blessings that they get through inheritance. And then verse 31, and he said to him, son, speaking to the older, you're always with me and all that I have is yours. This is the older brother. Did he appreciate what he had in the father? I really question if he did. He accepted it as his reality. He lived working, but I don't think he truly appreciated as much maybe as he should as we look at this passage. But let's move on. Second question. Who came to appreciate the father's successful business and his own blessings? Who really came or reached the point they really did appreciate it? Was it the prodigal? The one who left or the one who stayed, the eldest, or was it both of them? How many of y'all say number one? We've got kids putting up number one here, and probably most of y'all out there will agree number one. I'm not too sure about the eldest brother. But I do believe the prodigal would be the right answer. And the reason that is true is because look at what happens with the older brother. He's upset, so his father comes to him and he says, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. This is the servant speaking to the elder brother when he inquires. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So the father goes out and pleads with his son. And why does he have to plead? Because that son is angry at what's being done for that younger son whom he says wasted his father's goods, and that he did. And the father answered and said to his son, Lo, these many years I have been serving you, or the son is saying, lo, these many years I've been serving you, and I never transgressed your commandment any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. You see what he's saying there? He feels like he's deprived with his friends. Y'all have never felt that way, right? When you couldn't do something with your friends? I did, but that's another story. Verse 30. But as soon as this one of yours came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. We would call that a little bit of jealousy, wouldn't we? Do young people, old people ever get jealous of one another? Yeah, it happens. That's what we see here. Verse 31, and he said to him, son, here's the father speaking, son, you were always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, is lost and found. So father's rejoicing that the younger son's come back. Shouldn't the elder brother been rejoicing? He should have, but he wasn't. I think he was more interested in seeing that the father understood he wasn't happy about the fatted calf being killed and all the merriment going on when he says, I didn't get that. You didn't do that for me, Dad. Why'd you do it for him? Sometimes we refer to this as sibling jealousy. And folks that get older, they can read books about sibling jealousy. Do y'all ever have that at your house? A little bit of jealousy with one another? Boy, all of them saying yes. They understand, don't they? And what do you do? Have you ever stuck your tongue out at each other? Have you ever said things to each other maybe you shouldn't have? Yeah, it could be. Have you ever just said, okay, I'm not going to even talk to my brother or sister ever again? He can be cut in half for all I care by a magician. Yeah, that sometimes happens. And then sometimes it gets to this, doesn't it? Have you ever seen yourself get to this point? Parents, they're all shaking their head, yes. They understand. And so parents have to go buy books to read about how to deal with sibling jealousy, don't they? Because it is a reality of life. And there's basically two things that we can contribute for that jealousy. Number one, just like the elder son, he's thinking, he got that, I didn't. That's not fair. I want it. Why didn't you kill that fatted calf for me? That's one reason. Number two, who wants to be chief, the best, the greatest in the family? The smartest. You ever catch yourself saying, I'm smarter than you to your brother or sister? No? Do you ever say, I'm stronger than you? Do you ever say, I smell worse than you do? No. You see, there's lots of little things that go along with that. All those things work together to produce what is known for parents as that sibling jealousy, and they again have to figure out how to deal with it. And so they'll work to be as fair as possible with their children. They'll try to talk to their children and try to help them understand, just like this father did with the elder son. And there is significance in looking at that, because the father could have ignored the elder brother. But that would have been a big mistake, right? That's not what happened. The father went and spoke directly to that child. And fathers, I am so thankful when you do that. When you take that time to spend time with your children. That father stopped what was going on inside all the merrymaking to take time to speak to the elder brother. And that is very, very important. Now, the question again, who came to appreciate the father's successful business and his own blessings? I think it was the younger. Because he reached the point he was without. And so he returns. And there he has the open arms and welcoming of his father. And again, there's a lesson there for fathers. When children make mistakes, fathers need to be there, right? And most fathers who love their children, they're going to be looking for their children, even when they make mistakes. And so this son returns, and he has a new appreciation for life, in a sense, because he was perishing with hunger. He was in the pig pen, but he returns to the father. And he says, I will rise and go to my father and will say, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And there's no greater words to realize that can be said when one recognizes that when you sin, it's not only just in front of maybe our earthly parents, but it's in front of God. But he came and he said, I've sinned. What you're seeing there is a story of a family who was in a family business. The kids worked in the business. They were paying the father to follow in the father's business. It was a restaurant in Florida. Well, due to the hurricane that came through, destroyed their business, destroyed the restaurant. they did not have the proper insurance, and therefore they were out of business. Sometimes fathers find themselves and moms and kids out of the family business. And it looks like at that point there's no place to go. Isn't it wonderful when we recognize that there's a Heavenly Father that really cares about us? Even when it seems like others in the world don't, like the young prodigal, he was there. People wouldn't even give him to eat. He was in a pig pen. Well, his family recognized they were in a terrible situation, and what made it worse is they were buried in debt. So father and mother decided on a plan to work through all this and make their commitment to be completely out of debt. And in that, they did. They got out of debt, and then they set out to buy a home of their own, and they wanted it paid for. So they went with a house that you see right there. Very small, very insignificant as far as houses go. But one statement that caught my attention reading about this family is that now they enjoy life like never before. They realized and came to recognize that what is most important about life is each other. And by getting out of their debt and the struggle that they were in, they were able to find the time for each other. One of the things that stands out as you look at Luke 15, and I know it's an account Jesus uses to teach us many lessons, but particularly as you kind of look at it, one of the things that you see in this passage of Scripture that is truly a wonderful lesson is about the family, the father and the sons particularly, who spent time with each other. Life is truly better when we appreciate the Father's business. That becomes the source of great merriment. It's interesting that when you look at the account, the merriment is because of that which was lost is found, and that's really the heart of the lesson. But what is even more outstanding to me is that this son came to appreciate the father's business. Most of you probably know this, but Jesus was the son of a carpenter. It's very likely, based on what we know about times of that Jesus lived in, is that Jesus would have learned his father's trade as a child. He grew up in the father's business. He was aware of it. But there's something that Jesus reveals to us when he got lost. Remember, he was lost like the prodigal son, as far as the parents were concerned. They didn't know where he was at. But he wasn't like the prodigal son in a pig pen. He was found in the temple. And when they inquired as to what he was doing, he said, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" It might be that y'all don't want to grow up and be about your father's business. You want to grow up and not be firemen and like a father may be. You may not want to be a fireman or this or that. That's okay. But I do want to challenge you to think about growing up and being about the Heavenly Father's business. Right? That's the one that counts, just like Jesus. Follow His example. Follow His footsteps. And be about His business. Because that business is what really counts. And so tonight, the question is, are you about your Father's business? Do you take time to share time with your Father? Do you take time to appreciate the life that our Father gives us? Particularly as Christians, I hope you do. I hope you'll think about that. And do you spend time talking to your Father in prayer? It's so important because all of us are challenged to be about our Father's business. So tonight, we're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation song. It may be that you find yourself not having been devoted to your Father's business, our Heavenly Father. It might be tonight you're not yet a Christian and you need to become a Christian. then we're going to encourage you as we think about this to make the right choices. And tonight, if there's anything else we can assist you with, why not make it known as we stand and sing?